How many of you all know that the Lord is excellent and glorious? Thank God for our choirs, marvelous job that they do for us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know, sometimes you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. I think we ought to work on giving people their flowers while they're still alive and can smell them. We are thankful for our choir and the faithful job that they do over and over again. There's a word for us today in the Gospel of St. Mark, Mark chapter 14. I want to read for your hearing verses 43 through 46. Mark chapter 14, verses 43 through 46. The text says, just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. I want to talk today about Judas knows your place. Judas knows your place. The book of Mark presents Jesus as the servant of God, and I pray that we would understand if Jesus is the servant of God, then surely we ought to be as well, if not more so. But in this text, Jesus has his treasurer, hand-picked, close disciple, to not just betray him, which is bad enough, but to betray him on his prayer ground with a kiss under the cover of dawn. But Jesus stays Calvary focused as he was before the garden, and we know that he sits on the right side of the Father now. Church, if you're serious about living for Jesus, the devil has a way of putting a Judas in your life from time to time. I don't care how hard you pray, how hard you work, your gift of discernment, Judas can sneak through all filters and cause you so much pain. And if you're not careful, you will overreact to Judas and treat everybody as if they are the next Judas in your life. Tall, thick walls all around your heart because you don't want to get hurt by another Judas. But Jesus lives for us another model of simply staying focused on our assignment and trusting God for the results. So then today I want to suggest that we should work and relax while trusting God. We should work and relax while trusting God. First thing, work and relax. I don't have to spend time telling you that Jesus worked hard for the Father. You got that point. But what I think I might want to make sure you understand is that the Lord Jesus worked and relaxed. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, for example, it was Jesus who called his disciples after a long day of work and ministry. Mark 6:31 says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And even Jesus in Mark 1:35, Jesus is known for very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, where he prayed. Mark 1:35. Every now and then, you have to steal away from everybody, spouse, friends, church folk, everybody, and learn how to have a little talk with the Lord. Jesus is a model of work and relaxing. And I pray that you hear that God wants you to do a good work. Ephesians 2:10 supports the idea that we are saved for service. I'm praying that more of us will see the service of serving on this security ministry, or the health ministry, or the Crucial Link ministry. At least this Bring a Friend Sunday, this time of inviting, bringing, praying for this evangelistic day, I would pray that we would see the part we play in making Southern a church of excellence. Our God is so excellent that the only thing that we can give him that's worth his attention is our excellence. It starts with us being excellent disciples ourselves. It evolves into becoming excellent leaders and position holders in the Lord's church. It evolves into supporting excellent policy enforcement for God's church being excellent. It is embarrassing to have an excellent God and a people who don't even have excellent on their radar. Serving the Lord. As we make ready for our church anniversary, getting ready to celebrate well over 90 years of existence, we are reminded even from our history that we have a duty to get our work in. But not only work, we must learn how to rest or relax on the journey. It is interesting to me that of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the commandment regarding Sabbath rest receives the most explanation and elaboration. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant or manservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The point, God has made us so that we ought to work as well as rest. It seems to me as if we miss rest on one or two extremes. Now those, perhaps I'm in this category, known as the overachiever. It's work, 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 work. Can't rest. I got more work, 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 work to do. And then the other extreme is the underachiever. They rest 6 days a week, work 1 day out of the week. But both of us need to learn that we are in this thing together. And all of us must learn how to both do our fair share of work, but we must also learn how to rest. If you want to be blessed, You got to work on this work rest situation. Second issue now is betrayal. Y'all still here? The devil is not going to just sit back and let us work and relax. He's going to send betrayal into our life. As Jesus worked and rested in carrying out his assignment, lo and behold, Judas, his own hand-picked treasurer, close disciple, was the one who betrayed him. And it's bad enough to be betrayed, but to be betrayed in such a cowardly way. You can almost respect a man or woman who can come to you eyeball and eyeball and tell you, I don't like you, this is what I'm doing. You might disagree, but you at least got to give them credit for manning up, womaning up. But Judas, with his sneaky self, comes to Jesus' prayer ground. Nothing is sacred when the devil is involved. He comes to the prayer ground in the night when many are asleep. He comes at night because he knows that supporters are thin. It was so dark that the guards could not see which one of these people are Jesus. But Judas knew Jesus so well that he could make him out even in the middle of the night. Walked up on my Lord and kissed him as a signal to the arresting officers, come and get this one. My goodness, if you and I had the power that Jesus had, I'm not sure Judas would have been able to walk out of the garden. What I want to tell you, however, this text is not here just so we can feel sorry for Jesus. But the Lord is trying to get us to see that if they have done it unto him, our master and our Lord, then surely it is subject to happen to us as well. John chapter 15, verse 20, John 15, 20 says, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Now get it good. I'm not talking about some little light stress in your life. Not talking about no mess like the Reds didn't go to the World Series or the Bengals didn't go to the Super Bowl. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when your spouse leave you when you're down. Talking about when your children act like they done lost their mind, like you've never had any conversation with them. They act like they have no home training. Talking about when coworkers who you came up through the ranks with become your hostile competitor. You don't mind two people going for the same position and let the person who's best qualified win, but when your coworker lie on you, try to make you look bad so they can get a dollar an hour raise more than you have. I'm talking about painful betrayal. Can't nobody hurt you like those who are closest to you. And I don't want you to think that your saved church-going self lived beyond being betrayed. If they betrayed Jesus, I don't know what in the world would make you think you can't be betrayed. Now, almost in passing, I say to us, not only should we be on guard against being betrayed, but we need to make sure that we don't let the devil use us to be his Judas in somebody else's life. Now, some of us have the posture, well, I'm saved. I know the devil can't do anything with me. Really? Judas was a hand-picked disciple of Jesus. You have to carry a certain amount of trust to be the treasurer. There's a whole lot of folk we will let be an usher or sing in the choir, but we wouldn't even consider them as a treasurer. You gotta have some credibility to be the treasurer. But it is the treasurer who betrays our Lord. Now for those who say, not me, surely not me, I tell you, you ought to look at Judas again. I was trying to figure out what would make Judas betray my Lord. And I tell you from Jump Street, I don't know. But these are possibilities. Was it the money? Was he so pressed for money that he sold my Lord out for a few pieces of silver? Was he frustrated with Jesus? Jesus did not meet his expectation of a militaristic Messiah. That Judas wanted somebody to come in like John Wayne, shoot him up, make it happen. And Jesus come in talking about turn the other cheek, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. Was he so frustrated with unmet expectation that he betrayed my Lord? Or was he just evil? And it finally pops out in this situation. Or did the devil make him do it? Luke chapter 22, verse 3 says, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Luke 22, verse 3. I say to us that because it's in the Bible, you better pay attention. To those who say, I will never do it for money, that I would never let the devil use me in his plan just for some money. I say to you, what about your tithes? Hey! For those of you who say, I would never let the devil use me because I'm frustrated with unmet expectations in leaders, what about your listening to gossip? Most of us are not the ones who carry the bone, but we're too quick to receive the bone. We don't walk around carrying a bag full of garbage, but we certainly will take the lid off and receive the garbage. For those who say, well, I'm saved now, and things I used to say, I don't say anymore. Let's go back to that Tuesday or that Wednesday when that car pulled in front of you in traffic and that word that you thought you didn't say no more came back up in your spirit. I think Paul was onto something. I desire to do good, but evil is always present. You remember the preacher told you that whatever silver or status Satan offers you, it is nothing but the cheese in his mousetrap. And you are the mouse. Whatever little silver you get from betraying our Lord, that's nothing but a little cheese. You're going to get trapped in that mousetrap. Whatever status, whatever brownie points you get with the Pharisees and the big wheels of the church because you betrayed Jesus, at the end of the day, you're going to find out it was nothing but an enticement to your destruction. You ought to pay me some mind. I'm closing now. When I tell you a few things about trusting God, I told you, first of all, that we ought to work on that work and rest situation. I shared with you this matter of betrayal. No matter how holy you think you are, Judas can get close and hurt you. But don't let the devil use you to be a Judas. Now I'm talking about trusting God. Y'all still here? Sometimes Judas can hurt you so bad, so close, that if you're not careful, you will become paranoid. You'll put tall, thick walls all around your heart to make sure Judas never get close to me again. And you know, I'm talking to somebody right now. That's your problem. The reason why you don't have no friends now is because you're paranoid. Now, it's true. You got burned. You got hurt. They did you wrong. They lied on you. Yep. But everybody is not like that person. Bitter brother. That woman that did you in took all your stuff. You was in love. And she done took all your money. You put her name on the car. You just loved her so much. You said, I ain't gonna put my name on that car. That's my baby. And baby done drove your car away. And you still got to pay the note. Everybody not like that brother. And bitter sister, the brother who took the best years of my life. Everybody not like that sis. But if you're not careful, you will let your experience with the one or the few bias your outlook on everybody. You will become paranoid. And the problem with the shield that blocks you from the enemy's attack, that shield also blocks you from the blessings that God is trying to send into your life. When you don't let anybody get close to you, you keep foes and friends away. You keep the rain and the sunshine out of your life. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Somebody is missing their blessing because they are overly paranoid based on their encounter with Judas. Paranoia is not the proper response to being betrayed. I thought I would lift that because some of y'all are mad right now with folk who are dead. They gone. Or you mad about something and the person you mad with not even here. Then it went on down the street in a whole nother situation, and you still walking around with bitterness in your heart, and you making us pay for your bad experience with somebody who's not even here anymore. Hey, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Instead of paranoia, I suggest you try prudence, not paranoia. Prudence, wisdom. Luke 16:10 teaches that principle that if a person is faithful in a few things, see if he'll be faithful in many. But if he's unfaithful in a few things, you ought not be crazy enough to give him some more stuff to mess up. Luke 16:10, Bain's paraphrase. I was searching for an illustration to help this live for us. How can I point to an example that would ring in the ears of my people about trusting people with a little something before you trust them with something a little bit more weightier? And this was about the best I could come up with. Let us suppose that you tell one person that you went to the boat and you told them, I didn't go down there to gamble. I just wanted to go see what all of the fuss was about. I just wanted to see why everybody talking about the boat. Where is the boat? What's on the boat? Where is the boat at? And you thought you share this with one person. And 2 weeks from the day you tell one person, you got 3 and 5 people with your name in their mouth talking about the boat experience. You ought to have enough sense to know that one person you told can't be trusted with anything heavy. They have shown you if you're not gonna hold something light, and she's not gonna hold anything heavy. That's just prudent. Why y'all looking at me? Some of y'all look like, why the pastor talking about the boat? Somebody tell him I was at the boat? Why he used that illustration? Prudence. And then you know there's some stuff that go on in our life. No matter how prudent you are, sometimes the prudent thing to do is keep your mouth closed. It's some stuff that's going on you don't need to tell anybody about. It's some slow down stuff you have done that you don't need to be telling nobody about that. I mean, if you need counseling, then you just need to go get some counseling, but ain't no need of you just putting all your business out. Ooh, go on, Reverend. But you know, no matter how prudent you try to be, the best response is to trust God. Paranoia is not going to work. Prudence works many times. But the best thing we can do, no matter how bad we've been hurt, is to learn how to trust God. Now, I think I ought to tell you, it's easier to say than it is to do. When you get hurt, you don't feel like talking about all things work together for good. People done lied on you. People done scandalized your good name. Came up here and kissed me as a signal to betray me. And I got all this power in my hand. Boy, you better run. But even if you got to steal away to your prayer closet, go sit yourself down and remind yourself, self, the Lord is still working this thing out. The greatest thing you can do in light of Judas knowing your place is to learn how to trust God, to somehow and some way work things out for the good of his people. If it helps, go down this road and ask yourself, where is Jesus at today, October 2010? Is he still in the garden with the betrayer, Judas? No. Is he still on the cross, bearing the sins of the world? No. He sits on the right side of the Father. But the path to the throne went through the garden. Somebody need to pay me some mind. The path to the throne went through the garden. And somebody here is on their way to the throne. You just gotta trust God enough to get through the garden. God has not abandoned you. God still has a marvelous plan for your life. It's just sometimes we gotta go through the valley of the shadow of death in order to get to the next green pasture and body of still water. God has not given up on you. He still has plans for you to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever you can imagine for your life. But sometimes the path to the palace goes through the pit. If you don't believe me, ask Joseph. Joseph had some brothers who were so envious of his dream, so envious of his prized status with his father, that they threw Joseph in the pit, left him for dead. But what they meant for evil, God used it for good. In order for Joseph to become the number two man in the palace under Pharaoh, he had to go through the pit. And there's somebody here today who need to remember that no matter what's going on in your life, God still has a plan. And it's in the plan that we're going to have some updates and some down days. It's in the plan that we're going to have some stormy weather and then some calm weather. It's in the plan that sometimes weeping and wailing will endure the night, but there's joy coming in the morning. Is in the plan that sometimes we gotta go through the fiery furnace. But if you can keep the faith, the fire won't burn you in the furnace. It's in the plan to be thrown into the lion's den. But if you would keep the faith, the Lord will keep the lions from attacking you. I'm trying my best to get you to see that no matter what Judas does to you, if you can keep on trusting the Lord, the Lord will make a way somehow. Did you hear me? Now, when you get all by yourself, when Judas has plucked your last nerve, you remind yourself, self, the Lord will take care of his own. And then you remind yourself, self, through Christ, I belong to the Lord. And therefore, the Lord will take care of me. Did you hear me? Every now and then, you have to steal away and have a little talk with Jesus. I dare you to tell the Lord, Lord, here I am in sorrow's valley. Giving up the right for the wrong. Yeah, I dare you to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know why I have to cry so much. I don't know why my burdens are so heavy. I don't know why my road is so long. I don't know why there's so many twists and so many turns and so many hills and so many valleys and so many road out signs and so many detours on my road. Lord, I just called you up to tell you I'm still going to trust you. Did y'all hear me? I dare you to just call him up and tell him all that's on your heart. Did you hear me? One of the things I love about the book of Psalms is there is a genre of psalm called the lament. Did you hear me? The lament is the time when the writer tells God, God, why has thou forsaken me? Why are my burdens so heavy? Where are you at in all of my trials and tribulations? These are laments. But if you walk through the lament, they normally end with praise. Did you hear me? So it starts off talking about my God, why has thou forsaken me? That's how it starts, but it ends by talking about that I will trust in the Lord. Did you hear me? Habakkuk would have fit in this category. Habakkuk said, Lord, how is it that so many bad people are rising up and so many good people are being torn down? You remember the story that God told Habakkuk, I see everything that's wrong, and I got a plan. I, God, will raise up Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon to chastise my sinful people. And you remember the preacher, Habakkuk asked, Lord, how in the world you gonna use sinners to chastise the people of God? And the Lord had to remind Habakkuk, I'm God, I can do what I want to do any way I want to do it, whenever I want to do it. But just because you ask, I think I ought to tell you to just trust me for the end product. The preacher Habakkuk said, though the figs bear no figs, and though the staple where my sheep ought to be might be empty, I still will trust in the Lord. Did you hear me? It was Habakkuk who said, the just shall live by faith. And that's all I want to tell you. When Judas sneaks up on you in secret places, when Judas comes to your prayer ground, when Judas betrays you and it hurts you down to the bone, don't give up. Look up and trust that the Lord is still working it out in your favor. It's just sometimes you gotta go through the garden to get to your glory. I wish I had a witness. Sometimes you gotta go through your pit to get to your palace. Did you hear me? Just hold on a little while longer. The Lord has not brought you this far just to leave you. He still has a plan for your life. How many people in the room today still believe that the Lord has a plan for your life? Don't give up. Don't give up on God. If you don't give up on Him, the Lord sure won't give up on you. Is it anybody here that believe you can trust God? Don't fool me now. Is it anybody here who sure not believe you can trust, you can depend, you can put your weight on the Lord? The Lord sure never will
take care of his own. Is it anybody in the room that believe the Lord will take care of his own? Come on, don't fool me now. Do you really believe that the Lord will take care of his own? Have you heard he may not come when you want him, but if you wait on him, he sure enough will show up at the right time. I'm closing, but is it anybody here today who belongs to the Lord? Do I have any Jesus children in the room? Anybody here know that you know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it anybody here that's saved? I said saved in the arms of the Lord. Isn't it good to know that you're saved? Isn't it good to know when my enemies come upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumble and they fall? Why? Because I'm saved in his arms. I don't have to fret myself because of evildoers. I know they're soon, help me say soon, soon, soon cut down. Why? Because I'm saved. Anybody here go to sleep at night and sleep all night long because you know I'm safe in his arms? Let me tell you this, and I gotta get out of here. I know Judas can shake your cage. I know Judas can sneak up on you when it's unexpected. But you remember this, Judas can't touch you until the Father gives him permission. Judas can't touch you until the Lord give him the green light. And every time the Lord gives Judas the green light, is going to work out in your favor. Did you hear me? The Lord is going to take what Judas does and work it out for your good. You got to hold on. You've come too far. You can't quit. You can't throw in the towel. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just a little while longer. If you won't hold on, repeat after me. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Now come on and praise him. 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 Yeah. 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 You can trust God. You can trust God. You can't trust Judas, but you can trust God. God is still working out a plan for your life. If you can just keep the faith, don't get paranoid. Just trust the Lord. God is still in this thing. I know you thought that they had your back. I know you thought every smiling face was a friendly face, but trust God, and God is still gonna work this thing out for you if you can hold on. Now you're gonna hold on. You're gonna hold on. You've come too far to quit now. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come on over on the Lord's side. My brother, my sister, you ought to be making your way down the aisle right now.